and independent producers across the country. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Brian David at Satellite Operations. Thank you! If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase nationally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg.
Ursula!
That's U-R-S-U-L-A at pacifica.org. That's U-R-S-U-L-A at pacifica.org. This week's producer was One Tan Hand Productions. I'm Goto Gagliana for Sips, Suds, and Smokes. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts. Today on Wings.
The trauma and torture of witchcraft accusation must stop.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
For hundreds of years, Europe was plagued with witchcraft accusations and trials, leading to torture and death of perhaps 9 million people, 75% to 85% women. The phenomenon slowed to a trickle after 1750 and is nearly forgotten today, but in some parts of the world it is still a brutal reality.
I was horrified at what I saw. It was a camp for children who had been accused. Children who had had fuel or diesel poured on them and set ablaze. Children who had scars on their ankles where they had been hung from a roof. Children who had been pushed into hot boiling water or hot oil simply because there had been some form of ill luck in the family, either that somebody had died or there were reduced sales at the market, or there had been a divorce in the family.
Dr. Eleanor Nwadanopi is a physician and a gender and human rights consultant in Nigeria. She researched child witches for UNICEF.
I asked a few questions. I said, so what is it that you call these children? Some said witch, some said wizard, some said child witch. These children were also referred to as abandoned children, street children, initiates, slaves, victims, the accused, foreign child, because these children had been ostracized and stigmatized from their families. And then when I said to them, so what is it that is the issue here? Mostly in hushed tones, they would say, it's witchcraftsy. It is the phenomenon. Diabolical practices, spirit of evil, cult, unclean spirit, witched.
I'm Frieda Worden. On March 11th, 2015, I recorded a panel titled Witchcraft Accusations, Violence, and Torture of Women and Children. It was held in New York alongside the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women meeting. Lois Herman from the Women's UN Report Network showed slides of accused witches from Oceania, Africa, and Asia.
Here we have a woman in Ghana, an older woman who's totally isolated. She's in a Ghana witch camp. She's accused, and without trial, without any investigation, she's considered a witch.
and maybe someone in her family died, or maybe someone wants her land. A woman accused of witchcraft is beaten to death. We may say, oh, this happens in Africa, or this happens in South Asia. No, it happens many places. The UN Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women did a mission to Papua New Guinea, and she was very disturbed about sorcery-related tribal violence against women. According to Constitutional and Law Reform Commission of the UN and in Papua New Guinea, PNG has the highest number of reported cases related to sorcery-related killings. These cases have been on the rise since the 1980s. And now child witches. We have lots of children in Africa who are orphans from HIV/AIDS, from Ebola, from many different reasons. And these children may well be accused of witchcraft and then trafficked. And they will become the child laborers in UK or other countries. And there are certain religious leaders, and they tell family or others they can exorcise and get the bad spirit away. And they charge a lot of money for that.
Lois Herman from the Women's United Nations Report Network. Here again is Dr. Eleanor Nwadanobi from Nigeria.
There's a colleague of ours who couldn't join us today, Gary Foxcroft. Gary was working in that part of Nigeria where I found these children in a camp. He brought the attention of the world to the happenings there, and a Channel 4 documentary was aired. In the middle of the documentary, you will see somebody who calls himself the Bishop. And he claims to be able to drive evil spirits out of possessed children. Right there, in the full glare of the world, the Bishop pours a homemade substance, which he calls African Mercury, a potion of pure alcohol and his own blood, into the eyes of a young boy lying on the table. And that is his way, of exorcising the evil spirit out of the boy. In looking at accusation of witchcraft through the lens of the right to health, it is evident that when you see a child with half of their skin burnt off, or attempts that have been made at snuffing out the life of that child, that their right to health has been breached in all its ramifications. The first protective layer around the child is the nuclear family. What is it that causes a father and a mother to turn on their own child? All right, if that happens, what's the next layer? It's the extended family. Grandmothers, aunts, uncles, who should run to the aid of that child. And when the child needs them most, they're not there because of the stigma of the accusation. Let's look at the next layer. How about the community? The same community that for years anthropologists, historians have spoken of, especially in the African context, regarding the extended family system. But that has been eroded in this case. There is then the outer layer, the government. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot that we can do as civil society, as we collectively harmonize our positions and voices. As a health practitioner, I'm interested in how these children could be protected, I then decided to look at what was available by way of international treaties, standards, and principles that we could look to. And I found some ray of hope in the right to health as endorsed by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in Article 25. And this was adopted by the General Assembly as far back as 1948. That everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for health and well-being of himself or herself, including food, clothing, housing, medical care, necessary social services. When we then look at the International Covenant on Economic and Social and Cultural Rights, health is looked at as a fundamental human right and applies to all individuals. We also have interpretive documents called general comments, and in particular, General Comment 14 points out that the right to health is not to be understood only as the right to remain healthy, but contains both freedoms and entitlements. So what are these freedoms? The freedoms include the right to be free from interference, including the right to be free from torture.
That was Dr. Eleanor Nwadanobi, physician, policy consultant, and president of the Widows Development Organization in Nigeria. She is speaking on a panel titled Witchcraft Accusations, Violence, and Torture of Women and Children. The panel was organized by non-governmental organizations associated with the UN Commission on the Status of Women. The commission reviews compliance with CEDAW, the nearly universally ratified Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Here is co-organizer Stephanie Ortaleva, president of Women Enabled International.
We must remember, as we talk about accusations of witchcraft, to consider the impact on women and girls with disabilities, often our forgotten sisters. The Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women, Rashida Manju, she notes that witchcraft accusations and these killings and other forms of violence are an extreme manifestation of violence against women. She also notes in others of her reports that we need to recognize the multiple and intersecting dimensions of women's lives, and this includes whether one is or is not a person with a disability, a difference so often ignored in the list of intersecting identities that we discuss. And we cannot use traditional values, as some have, to justify violence and killings of women based on accusations of witchcraft. We can't assume some cultural relativistic approach when considering these things and say that, well, some traditional attitudes are based on local culture and we need to respect local culture. There are indeed some positive traditional values that we want to consider. And dignity, equality, and respect are some of the most strong values in our society. And these are embedded both in the CEDAW as well as the CRPD, the Disability Treaty. There are numerous myths and cultural views about disability. And you combine that with sexism and you're in a double bind. So we need to incorporate a gender-sensitive, disability-inclusive approach to our discussions and analysis of how to address accusations of witchcraft and how to see them from a societal perspective. Often people who have a disability are seen as, quote, cursed or, quote, possessed or evil purely because of their disability. Women are often seen as demonics purely because they are women. The UN Special Rapporteur on Extrajudicial Killings, Philip Alston, he notes one practice, for example, that a woman is called a witch if she births a child with a disability. And indeed, the child with a disability in the family and in the community is viewed as a curse on the woman for some wrongdoing on her part or some violation of a social or societal taboo. As Special Rapporteur Alston and others have pointed out, there is this myth that having sex with a woman with a disability, because she's a woman with a disability, everybody thinks she's a virgin, because in case you didn't know, disabled people don't have sex. There is some belief on the part of some individuals that having sex with a quote virgin unquote woman with a disability can cure HIV and AIDS. Of course, this results in rates of increased rape, increased risk of HIV infection, and unwanted pregnancies. Another thing that Special Rapporteur Alston and others have pointed out is that people with a disability of albinism are often hunted and killed for a complex variety of reasons. First, some believe that their skin and body parts brings, quote, magical powers or can cure diseases. But then on the other hand, some people believe that it's necessary to kill such individuals because they are evil or cursed. These things do cross borders and cultures, and we shouldn't view it as something that only happens elsewhere, over there. It happens here. Women in general who deviate from social norms or accepted patterns of, quote, feminine behavior, unquote, are often labeled as women with psychosocial disabilities. And as a result, and or as a mechanism of control, they are subjected to forced psychiatric treatment and interventions. This is an effort to deprive them of their legal capacity and their personhood, and of course to punish them for being uppity women. There are forms of abuse of women and girls with disabilities based on views of them as evil or cursed or possessed that can result in things such as starvation and other forms of maltreatment. Parents of children with disabilities, especially girls, often don't register the births of these girls, and sometimes they even kill them because they're perceived to be useless and basically a burden to the family, and also something that's going to hinder the marriage prospects of others in the family. Many countries have engaged in forced sterilization. The CEDAW Committee and the Human Rights Council have criticized, for example, Australia and Colombia for continuing to engage in these practices. Men attack women and girls and women and girls with disabilities as a manifestation of their desire for patriarchal power and control over women. It's another manifestation of the dangers of a patriarchal view of society. Another thing that's a very interesting analogy between accusations of witchcraft and people with disabilities is that under the so-called medical model of disability, there's often seen as an effort to, quote, cure, unquote, the disability. Similarly, some of the harsh treatments that are forced upon women as a result of accusations of witchcraft are also because of some misguided notion of, quote, cure. Illness and disability are often seen to be the curse of the witch, and as a result of that, the woman who is responsible for the birth of that child is killed. The other intersection with disability is that many of the punishments, if the woman survives for accusations of witchcraft, can exacerbate existing disabilities or result in new ones. Indeed, women with disabilities are more discriminated against, more violated, and more abused than others. There are solutions. I strongly believe in the virtue and the importance and need for human rights education. We need to enforce and demand that our governments engage in their due diligence obligations with respect to these issues. Governments often are not called to task for this and ignore these problems. And most importantly of all, we need data. There are some really vigorous efforts from civil society to collect data, and often such data is not disaggregated by gender, age, and disability so that we can see what groups of people are targeted, as well as, of course, other identity factors which are important.
That was international human rights lawyer Stephanie Ortaleva. She founded and heads the non-governmental organization Women Enabled International. Women Enabled International focuses on human rights programming, training, and consultancy to ensure women and girls with disabilities are included in international policy, program design, and implementation. They co-sponsored this panel on witchcraft accusations, violence, and torture of women and children. Two of the panelists were from International Women's Media. Again, Lois Herman.
The trauma and torture of witchcraft accusation must stop. It happens many places, but you won't see it in major media.
Perhaps she had offended someone. Perhaps someone had fallen sick. Perhaps a community well had suddenly dried up and someone needed blaming. Perhaps she was lower caste. Perhaps she was a woman.
Lise Anzia is founder and editor of the web-based Women News Network. She addressed witch accusations in India.
Now, between 2000 and 2012, 2,100 people accused of witchcraft in India have been killed. Now, that came from the inside media called Mint, and that's a well-known local regional paper in India. This is the recording of the numbers. I always feel like the recorded numbers are just a shadow of the real numbers. Others have set this number much higher as reports have been hushed to authorities in rural areas and throughout different regions inside India. Some of the accusations of witchcraft, mostly there are some men that are involved in being accused, but they are not as prominent as women. They do cross over with the specter of honor violence and the idea of family attacks against their own. And the last 3 years in the province of Jharkhand has been the most active with the numbers of witchcraft accusations that have ever been seen. So we do have a crisis on our hands. The degree of violence can be considered to be some of the most severe forms of torture and humiliation that exists. Stripping the dignity of women who have been judged. Why have they been judged? Now, a good colleague of mine not long ago said that the act of blame is the act in the regions where you do find this kind of treatment of women to be the act of blaming the other. Now, if you have a child that has been sick in a family, there is a search for who to blame. When you have the idea of blaming the other, that is part of the basic mechanism of how this works. Under the 2006 Prevention of Witch Practices Act in Jharkhand, the victim must prove they are not guilty of the accusations. How are we going to change a system if the person that is being accused has to prove that they are not guilty? We need to pull through on legislation and allow new laws to come in saying that these victims are innocent until proven guilty. Many of the violence against women laws, they allude to the situation of witchcraft accusation, but they are not stating enough witchcraft accusation in the language itself. These laws that have been working to try to lower the incidence of violence in general are the Dowry Prohibition Act, the Child Marriage Prevention Act, Prevention of Immoral Traffic Act, the Protection of Women from Domestic Violence Act, that's from 2005, and the 2013 India Parliament Act called the Prevention and Protection of Witch Hunting Bill in 2013. Now that one did go into the language of saying and using the words witchcraft accusation. We need to understand that the criminalization of women has to do with marginalization of women. Women being invisible, women being unimportant, women being something disposable. All of these things are part of the work that we're doing, everyone here needs to start doing in order to get the word out to the leaders in the regions where there's trouble.
Lise Enzia from Women News Network. On Wings, you are listening to a panel titled Witchcraft Accusations, Violence and Torture of Women and Children. It was held in New York alongside the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women meeting in March 2015. The following voices are women speaking out from the audience.
I belong to a country where witchcraft accusation happens.
Terezinha da Silva is Mozambique National Coordinator for Women and Law in Southern Africa.
Elder people, mostly women, are accused of witch. They are being killed and expelled from home. In most of the cases, witch accusation is a scapegoat, but also they have friends, son-in-laws or daughter-in-laws. They accuse the older people and they are expelled from homes. I'd like to be proud that Mozambique, after so many years of research, and we did a lot of studies, and we did also for more than 5 years lobbied the government for having a law against witchcraft accusations. So last year in February, the government, based on our proposals, and that there is a law to defend and promote the rights of older people, and those who accuse an older person as a witch will be prosecuted. So we need now some procedures how to implement all this.
Mrs. Obioma Liel Imoke is the founder of Mothers Against Child Abandonment in Cross River State, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Obioma Liel Imoke. I am the founder of Mothers Against Child Abandonment in Cross River State. I work with getting street kids off the streets, and I keep them in a transitional home and rehabilitate them, and as much as possible reintegrate them back into society. But one of the major reasons we found that these kids are on the road is because they are tagged witches. And so the parents, the actual biological parents, kick them out of the house. And we have a child's right law that we advocated, and it was passed in 2009. But the problem is implementation. We don't have the resources. When I say resources, I mean human resources, human capacity to implement the laws. We've had over 200 and something kids that have been through our home. We've been able to resettle a few of them. Some of the parents have blatantly refused to take the kids back because they insist that they are witches. It's a very sad thing because one of the kids that I spoke to once, I asked, and he said he was a witch. I said, really? So attack me. And he said, what? I said, well, what is a witch? He didn't know what a witch was. I said, why did you say you're a witch? He said, because the way my father beat me up, I must be a witch, and sent me out of the house. So there's a lot of work to be done. I go to a church and I say, oh, you know, this is one of mine. And the church says, oh God, he needs deliverance. This, you know? So it doesn't even work in the church because the churches believe that these children are also witches. I think the people who need the help are the parents who don't understand that the child cannot be a witch. She might be stubborn, she might be naughty, but it doesn't translate to witchcraft. Thank you.
Witchcraft accusations, violence, and torture of women and children. The panel was organized by non-governmental organizations associated with the UN Commission on the Status of Women. To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org, and please check our daily news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose latest book is titled The Gift in the Heart of Language. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. I had editorial help this week from Mindy Rand. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Listening to KBOO Portland.